Ja, hi.
Hello, hello. Hi. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, very well. Before we start, help me pronounce your name correctly. Is it Sai or Say?
Hi.
Sai. Oh, there you go. There you go. Nice to meet you, Sai.
Nice to meet you, man. Actually, we have to do an interview 2 years ago.
Oh yeah, true, true. Apologies for that. Things have been quite crazy for me, but I'm glad that we're finally meeting to carry on this.
Sure. So I've gone through a profile. I can see you are into technology and you're doing a lot of technology work. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Oh yeah, sure. It's been a while since I talked about myself, so I'm just trying to organize my thoughts and see where I can start. Well, maybe a good place to start is where I am at today. So today I'm a digital products manager and a digital transformation practitioner at Phasero. And maybe to give you more context into what that means, maybe I should tell you about what Phasero does a little bit. So Phasero is a digital consultancy, right? And what I mean by that is that I don't mean Phasero is a business consultancy. It's specifically a digital consultancy. Because I noticed that there's a fine line between the two, and a lot of the time people confuse business and digital consultancy. Think of a situation where you're working with an oil and gas company, for example, that's responsible for extracting crude oil from underground and selling it to people. What Phasero is going to consult with in that specific situation, not how to help you in extracting crude oil from underground and selling it to people. That's your core business. You probably know how to do that better than Phasero. But what Phasero help you with as a client is that how can you incorporate technology into that process to help you, for example, increase productivity, enhance your efficiency on how you run your operations and things like that. So specifically, how you incorporate technology into your operation to achieve some specific success criteria or metrics. That's what Phasero helps with. And me as a digital product manager in that situation, I come in to help translate that vision of achieving that productivity or those specific metrics into a strategy, a guideline, kind of a step-by-step kind of thing. And I think that's where basically I come in and help those companies. We work with different kinds of companies, all the way from corporates across the spectrum to early age startups, in helping and solving those kinds of problems. In terms of technology is a huge industry. Specifically, where Phasero excels is in the artificial intelligence specialization. If you have machine learning problems in your company, that's where Phasero can help a lot in terms of technical expertise. But we're not limited to that. We also have expertise in the software development field as well, and that kind of thing. Yeah, I think that's a quick brief about what I do as a specialty. But other than that, of course, I do a lot of things in my downtime, which is not a lot. I don't have a lot of downtime, and you can tell. But yeah, that's what I do. I think also, since we're talking about what I do, maybe if we have a few couple minutes, I can tell you how I got here. Do you want me to tell that
Sure.
story?
That's
Yeah.
my next question.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Yeah, I think that's an interesting story, and everyone that talked to me probably have heard it. So originally, I started my career in the oil and gas industry. Working in the engineering field specifically with one of the biggest, if not the biggest, operator here in Oman, in my country. It used to be called ORPIC back then. Now it's called OQ. It's an oil and gas operator. So what happened back then is that I've always had a passion for technology, right? I've always been curious about the new emerging technologies and the trends and what's happening in the tech industry. That had nothing to do with my full-time job as an electrical engineer at OQ or ORPIC, right? So what I started doing back then is in my downtime, like after my full-time working hours, I would be freelancing for different clients as a software developer. Right, helping them build their apps, their web apps, products, digital products, and things like that. But back then, I was very much focused into the technical side of things, into the software development specifically. Throughout that journey, I started becoming more passionate about this field. And one thing I started noticing is that a lot of the startups that I was freelancing for would not make it to the stages where I would like it to be, where people are using this product, this business is making money off that product. It didn't get to that stage. A lot of them were failing after a few months. We would run out of funds and we will just stop working. So that was a quite intriguing problem for me because I started trying to understand like what's the reason behind this, why our local startups, our local products are failing a lot or not making it to where they are supposed to be. As I started digging into that problem, I remember initially I had some ideas about maybe this is a technical problem, maybe we don't have strong software engineers in Oman, and that's why this problem is occurring a lot with these startups. But then, as I kept digging into this problem more, it started to become clearer and clearer to me that no, this is not a technical problem. It's just how things work. In Oman, we were going through, and we are still going through the first cycle of founders building their products, and there's a huge learning curve that comes with that. And I think right now we're going through that curve. We're kind of past the midpoint of that curve, I'd say now, after so many years. And the problem with that is that there are lots of lesson learned that I think can be avoided, right? A lot of other countries and our neighboring countries or other countries that have more mature digital industries, for example, have been through this already. So my idea is that why can't we learn from those to speed up our process of learning, making our learning curve much shorter than it is today. We have potential here in Oman, a lot of potential. It is an untapped market. It's being untapped slowly right now, slowly, slowly. But what I'm saying is that I think the untapping can happen much faster than it's happening right now. That's the idea. And I think once I started learning those things, I tried to understand, okay, who's the person that's responsible helping the founders, the local founders, in understanding those lessons, in making the way they work a little bit systematic, to avoid those pitfalls that will end up burning the funds, not being able to make it even to the market. Not even the first iteration does not get in, doesn't get shipped into the market, and that was the challenge. And the term product management started to become more obvious into my research. I've started seeing this term a lot, that these founders either need basic skills of product management or they need to hire a proper product manager to help them with that. Product management in general is a new field, is a new industry, relatively speaking, compared to the other roles in the industry. So I started learning more about this specialty, which is product management, reading more, taking courses, and practicing whatever I learned with the companies that I was freelancing with. And honestly, I quickly started to see how valuable those kinds of knowledge, those kinds of frameworks that come with product management in building systematic product development process for these early age startups that literally cannot afford losing a single Omani riyal throughout the process. If that happens, it might end up costing them their business. So I think those frameworks came out to be really helpful for them. And bringing those in and starting to see how valuable my insights are being valued by those local founders, circling back to my point on how I got here, I started to see the value that I bring to these companies, right? I started to see how valuable that kind of knowledge is to these companies. So at that point, I decided that, okay, now is the time for me to take a leap of faith and quit my full-time job at OQ and join a company and become a full-time product manager. And I remember at that time I had quite job offers from different companies. I had to do like my comparative analysis between those startups. I had some deep insights into what's happening inside of FaZe-Ro because a lot of my friends are working in FaZe-Ro, so I knew what's happening inside of that. It seemed to me it's they're solving real complex and real exciting problems that I'm kind of passionate about, and they have a vision of basically creating an impact locally in Oman, which is one of my missions, and hopefully one day we'll achieve that. Is basically improving the local talent in Oman, specifically in tech, in solving real complex problems by Omani teams here in Oman. And that's why I was like, you know what, I think Phasro is my best option now. And that's why I got into Phasro.
Great. So before talking about you, your product management skills and how you developed it and how it is matching to the present company that you are working, because since you are a product developer, I want to tell about one, my product, that is my sponsor product for this episode. So, which is, it's Start Adam. Sales and customer facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution is Start Adam, where conversation converts. With Start Adam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool. No more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant. Plus, bring all communications into your CRM or ticketing system. No data entry required. Join Start Adam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyperspeed with unified chat. Thank you very much, Meher, for your presence again on my show.
Mm-hmm. Happy to be here. That was a nice transition into the sponsored ad.
Who is collaborating with me for my podcast.
Nice. Good luck with that.
So you should explore it. That may helpful for the organizations that you're working for, because that is a global product.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, sure. So probably the link to the product will be somewhere in the discussion.
Yeah. Sure. At the end of the discussion, I'll share you. So before that, coming to your work, tell me about the services that your company is providing. It is helping industries and the businesses. You said technology is not that big in your country, and they are not yet aware of a lot of things that are happening in other countries about digital products and digital things.
Correct, 100%. I think Oman is an interesting case study, to be honest, specifically when we talk about technology and how we adopt technology into our processes. Because I think what we're trying to do is something quite interesting. What Oman is trying to do is that to have our own kind of our own flavor on how we adopt technology into, well, our lives, our daily lives, our businesses, our government, even the big businesses in Oman, how they incorporate technology into their operations and things like that. I think we're trying to have a unique perspective into that and not be influenced a lot by what's happening outside of Oman and in the neighboring countries and even the countries that are more mature. Now, that's a good strategy, and I'm very on board with this. But this has to be done in a structured way where we basically at least can learn from the pitfalls that are bound to happen when you take your country through a digital transformation process flow. You want your company to adopt technologies in a way that other countries have done it before you, right? And they've been through things, they've been through challenges, problems that they have resolved in one way or another. I think there are some shortcuts that can be taken to reduce the amount of time that we're spending on the learning points, which as long as you're going into digital transformation process, you will keep learning. That's normal. That's how it is. But I think there are ways and opportunities for how we can reduce that learning time. And this is exactly what Phasro is trying to do. This is the services that we're trying to bring into the table with our clients. And basically me being part of Phasro is something that we're trying to advocate for, is that your business, you have a digital transformation initiative today What can you do to bring that initiative? Because usually it starts with an idea. It's a bet. It might work. It might not work. So how can you bring this into reality without hurting your business as much as you're doing today? How can you take smaller bets? How can you make your bets more systematic? How can you make those digital transformation initiative bring value one way or another, whether it's having your idea brought to reality or understand early on that the way that you're thinking about this transformation is not, could be not the best way to solve this problem. So what we try to do with our clients is creating those short learning loops, short learning cycles, so that they understand whether they are going through the right direction or not. This way, what we're doing is that we help the businesses maintain our unique adoption of technology, the Omani unique adoption of technology, while avoiding spending or over-investing into ideas that might end up not solving the right problem, right? Because at the end of the day, what you're doing with any digital transformation initiative, with any digital product that you're building, you're solving a problem for someone, whether that's internally for your business, for your employees, or for the customers that are going to pay you later on. So what you want to make sure of is that before over-investing, make sure that you are at least solving the right problem, and then make sure that you're solving it in the best way possible so that you can get the objectives that you're aiming to achieve. If you're aiming for optimizing for time, like reducing time of operations, then measure whether you are in the right track before over-investing or not. So what we're doing is that we're taking the digital transformation initiative, we're taking the digital products and creating shorter cycles, smaller cycles, kind of a guideline or a playbook for companies and businesses to follow in order for them to build the right thing at the end of the day. And that specifically goes across the spectrum when we talk about technology, whether you're building a software product that people are going to use, or you're going to build a machine learning model that's going to enhance some aspect of your business. It's the same guidelines, the same playbook. Measure, test before you overinvest into your ideas. And I think that kind of service of consultancy that Phasor is bringing to the businesses, which I find very valuable once they're adopted in the proper way by businesses.
So you are letting them know how technology is going to help or enhance their business. So what kind of an architecture that you go with, and what kind of businesses that you worked with till now? What kind of industries?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So as I said, in terms of the business size, we operate across the spectrum from corporates all the way to early age startups, because usually the technology / business problems that are being faced within businesses, the way to approach them is not 100% exactly the same, but they have some like overlapping concepts and approaches. And I think in terms of business side, we target the different businesses across the spectrum. Specifically, when we talk about the fields, well, for many different reasons, one of the main reasons is that one of the most mature industries in Oman is oil and gas, right? So the problems that we aim to solve are problems that are being faced over years now in the oil and gas industries. People have started to feel the pain of those problems, operational pain and financial pain as well. Those are the problems that we try to target, specifically in the oil and gas companies here in Oman or in the region as well. That's one industry that we're operating in. Another industry is the financial industry as well. Very similar situation. A lot of the problems and pain points being faced in that industry are pain points that have been banks or financial institutions have been struggling with for a while now. And I think solving those problems can be applicable to the different financial institutions in Oman. As well as recently, we've been digging into the e-governments industry as well, because Oman is going through a phase I don't know if you've heard of this, that we have a 2040 Oman vision that we're trying to achieve. And part of that vision is having a digital government. So FASRA have been helping in that a lot, bringing their expertise into the digital transformation initiatives, expertise in the digital products development and solving complex problems using the emerging technologies into that process of enhancing the government into a digital government in Oman.
So tell me something about Oman and also about how the usage of technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as I said, Oman will always remain a very interesting case study for countries because our approach, as I said, is quite unique on how we adopt technology. First of all, let's start with the users before the businesses and the operators of those technologies. Let's start with the people that are using those technologies, whether we're talking about the citizens in Oman, residents, or different kinds of personas that are using the digital products in Oman. I think over the past few years, especially after COVID hit, I think we've seen a huge transformation on how people use technology. Even people from like an older age group, people that had nothing to do with technology, nothing to do with the mobile applications and things like that. Today, you will be surprised of how many of them are using those technologies or adopting those technologies into their daily lives. I was very shocked to see some of my family members from the older age group to use an app to schedule when they should take their medications and things like that. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting switch in the mindset because pre-COVID, things like this did not exist. They didn't feel the need of them having to use any technology. Like, I will get a prescription from my doctor, a written one. They will tell me what time to take my medication. I don't need an app for that. But after they've seen how technology made their life very much easy after COVID or during COVID, I think they started adopting that mentality of, okay, I think there is some kind of value that we're getting out of using these digital products into our daily lives. So that shift in mindset is happening across the different age groups in Oman. Talking about the younger generation, I think, where they're very, very, what's the word? They seek to know, like, what's the new technology, technical digital products, what's happening in the industry? Are there any new digital products coming into the industry that we need to try? Is there something that I can bring into my daily life? For example, I'm a student. Is there any new app that's going to help me in my studies and things like that? So from that perspective, understanding that you have a user base that's very interested in digital products and they want to bring technology into their daily lives, into their daily challenges that they face to be solved by technology, you as a business start to see that, okay, there is potential to gain a bigger size of user base to solve a bigger problem for people that might end up using my product. So with that understanding, a lot of businesses and startups have started to arise in Oman, early age startups being founded by local founders here in Oman, international startups coming to Oman trying to acquire the user base in Oman, and that's always great. It's increasing competition in Oman, which always increases the quality of the products that are coming in. It's always pushing local founders to build their products in the best way possible. Now we have local startups, local products that are competing in the region internationally with other startups and products, and this is only going to keep increasing as time is moving forward, going forward. So I think we have an industry that's maturing in a sustainable way, which makes me feel very happy and comfortable. Only thing I would say, it's not maturing fast enough, because technology, we all understand, things are happening fast. Things are moving quite quickly. I think there are areas where we can enhance and optimize for speed to basically be even more competitive in the region and international wide.
So what is the major change that happened after coming technology into the businesses that you are working for?
That's a very interesting question. And always, maybe I'm being biased because I'm a product manager and I always empathize with users. I would say the way that technology has impacted these businesses is, for now, at least in the initial stages, it changed how people think. It changed the mindset of how businesses operate, right? Let's take an example of governments in Oman, for example. Today, the government is looking for ways to align between all of the governmental entities in Oman to achieve one objective, which is serving the users of Oman, which is serving the beneficiaries of Oman. Now, something like this would not be possible before the existing of technology or before incorporating technology into these businesses. Now, whether this thing is going to happen or not, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different technical discussion. But my point is that having that mindset of all of the governmental entities coming into one place, in sitting in one table, discussing that, how can we align our efforts to help the users of Oman, to help the people that are making use of our services as a service provider, as a governmental service provider, how can we help them achieve that in the easiest, best way possible? That kind of sitting, that kind of discussion is a huge transition, is a huge valuable transition to Oman towards achieving big things, even if we might not know them, even if we don't know what are those big things today. But this is a huge stepping stone to achieve those things, because now you have a stronger working force that's aligned in terms of vision, which is serving the users of Oman, meaning that all of our efforts are going to be heading towards that vision. How can we serve those users? So that kind of mindset is being applied across Oman right now, whether it's in the government, oil and gas industry, financial industries. Everyone is starting to think, how can we incorporate technology to better serve our users? So instead of them being business-centric, business-focused for a while, now they're transitioning the mindset into how can we become user-centric, customer-centric first, and use that to enhance our business outcomes and achieve our business goals in terms of revenue and financial aspects and all of that. How can we help our users help us achieve our financial revenue? Because that's the playbook. That's how everyone else before us have done it. That's how it worked well for them. So that's the only, basically, that's the way to go. Now, that mindset that we're having is helping us achieve that. And that's, I would say, that's the most valuable thing, at least in my personal opinion, of having that transition into incorporating technology into our lives in Oman.
So having an electrical engineering and doing freelancing and doing the technology work and developing passion about it and coming completely into technology and helping businesses and industries to use the technology. So as a product manager, how do you understand this business requires this product, and how much time you take in order to see the architecture of it, and how do you align the business and the technology?
Okay, that's another interesting question. So I think, first of all, let's start with the first point that you mentioned, my background as an electrical engineer, and how is that helping me as a product manager, and then how my product management skills are helping businesses to align technology with their requirements. I think my electrical engineering background is helpful in different ways. First of all, it's helpful that I worked in a corporate, in a big company with more than 5,000 employees. I think having that work culture exposure has been really helpful for me to understand how different companies at different sizes operate, What kind of challenges do they face? What kind of challenges a smaller company would face? And things like that. I think having that work culture was really helpful for me in terms of my electrical engineering background. Other than that, as an engineer, one of the key skills that you're being taught in school or in practice is the problem solving skills, right? And I think that skill has been really helpful for me until today as a product manager, because as a product manager, what you do is that you're helping solving problems. And I think that skill helped me create a systematic way for how I can solve, whether they are my own problems or problems for businesses or the specific operational aspect that I'm working in at that time. So I think all of that has helped me shape up my skills as a software developer, my skills as a digital products manager, my skills as a digital transformation practitioner. Now, how do I bring that into how I translate that into value to businesses is a whole different story, because there are playbooks, there are guidelines for how to build products. I think we all know about the Lean Startup and the great story that they have. There are different methodologies to follow to build digital products, to build successful digital products and scale-ups. But all of that is structure. All of that is structure around what's happening in reality. You need that for sure. You need that kind of structure. 100% you need that. But at the same time, you need your own unique perspective into that structure, because a playbook is not going to help you go from point A to Z in a successful way. It's going to tell you the way for you to get to A to Z. You're going to meet these points, you're going to have these milestones, and you're going to need to navigate those milestones with your own perspective. So I think my skills as a product manager are helping me navigating those milestones with those frameworks and playbooks that we follow as product managers. And I think that unique perspective is what specifically aligns with the clients that we're helping. One of the key steps that I do when I get into getting to know a business that we're going to work with is to empathize with that business, as well as empathizing with the users or customers of that business. I try to understand basically what they do, what's their value proposition, how do they position themselves in the market, how do people think, how do people perceive that business, what problems do people think this business is going to solve. And then trying to understand, is this business solving that problem that they're aiming to solve in the best way possible for their customers? Now, that kind of discussion, that kind of process is what helps the business understand where they stand today and how they're serving their clients, and also helps me understand how can we bring technology to enhance how those businesses can better serve their customers. Because I am not there to tell the businesses how they should operate, how they should serve their customers, but I am there to basically open their eyes into maybe areas that they didn't look at, only because I have that knowledge of empathizing with users, empathizing with the business. I try to connect the two to basically understand what kind of digital product can be placed within this process to better serve the customers and return value to the business at the end of the day, because it's a product and a market at the same time. There is a business, there is a product, and there is users in between that needs to be served so that the business can get value in return as well. So yeah, back to my point, I think my skills as a product manager bring in unique perspective into the businesses on how they can basically serve their customers in a better way. Long answer, but the short answer is my last line, basically.
So you mentioned the untapped market. So how do you define this in the global market?
Sorry, could you say that again?
You mentioned Oman as an untapped market. So mm-hmm. In the global market, how do you define this untapped market?
That's a good question. So the reason why I'm saying Oman is an untapped market, I think anytime you talk to an Omani person, you will notice how passionate about Oman we are, right? I'm just connecting my charger. Sorry about that. So yeah, as I was saying, so I think you'll notice how passionate we are when we talk about Oman. And that is for different reasons, right? One reason is that, well, Oman have given us a lot in the past decades. Like, we're very thankful to be here, to be in Oman, and now it's time for us to give back to the country. That's one reason. Another reason is that I think everyone in Oman is noticing the potential that Oman has, whether it's the government potential, the leadership potential of the country, or the potential of the locals, people that are living in Oman, the citizens of Oman. And when I say potential, I mean technical potential, I mean value-adding potential, and different kinds of things. We are very passionate because we see what we can bring into the world. We see where we can take Oman to, and we're very passionate about that because we believe it's an obligation to us to give back to the country. And we think there are clear ways, clear paths for us to do that. And only thing right now, it's not happening as fast as we'd like. I'm using the term fast loosely because we're not always optimizing for speed. We need to bring value with that speed. But at the same time, what I'm saying is that right now I'm calling it an untapped market, because everyone in the region is moving faster than us. And I think we have the potential to move as fast as they do, or if not even faster than how they do. We have the local talent, we have the local potential, we have everything it takes to achieve all of that. So compared to the region, we're not far behind. No, we are competing and strongly competing. As I mentioned earlier, we have local products that are competing in the region, competing internationally. We have local talent that's competing in the region. People from Oman working in different countries internationally, even in the States, with the biggest companies like Apple, Amazon, Google. All of that needs to bring value to Oman. Needs to bring value to Oman so that we can untap this potential faster than it's happening today. I think within the upcoming few years, things are going to change much faster. And I'm hoping that we can have this conversation again after a few years. And I'll tell you that I told you so, Sai, because I think there's a mindset shift happening today towards becoming more independent, more valuable in terms of what we bring to the world as Omani talent, as Oman as a country, what brings to the world and different kinds of things. I think you'll see a huge shift towards that. Today, it's a process. It will always remain a process. We will go through the process, but I think we will start noticing an increase in velocity to this process within upcoming few years, which I'm very, very excited for. And this is one of the reasons why I remained in Oman to work in Oman, and another reason why I got into technology, because I think technology is what's going to help us become faster on how we untap the value of Oman specifically.
So eventually technology is for users, businesses that you are working for and suggesting the technology products and services which are matching and which will help their business is for users. So how do you think about users? Because like you said, after COVID, the technology usage has been increased in Oman, and it's been few years. How fast they are in adopting to technology, and how fast they are to use the technology products and services that you are suggesting to the businesses that are being, used easily. Tell me about the user experience.
Awesome. Great. That's another good question. And this answer is going to be one of many. As a product manager, we always say it depends. So it really depends. And the reason why I say it depends is because, see, as I said, my skills help me do this in a systematic way for businesses. Meaning, one of the systematic things that we do is to identify the different user groups that's going to value from the product that this business is bringing, right? And when we do that, we identify, for example, 3 to 4, 5, 6 user groups that eventually we think those are the personas, those are the user groups that can be targeted by this business. Now, how we approach those different user groups through that one single product is different, right? And that's what I mean by being systematic. We're going to have a user group that's an early adopter of our product. Another user group if you remember that the innovation curve and where different user groups are being placed in that innovation curve, you're going to have the innovators, people that want to know about the digital products, just that are just curious and want to know about it. Even if they're not going to use it, they just want to learn about it and know what's happening, what's new with technology. And then you have the different user group that wants to transform how they work today, whether it's offline or using a different digital product, into an enhanced digital product. We identify that type of users and target them as a business in a different way, whether it's through a marketing campaign, whether it's through a messaging in your digital product and how you do that. There are different ways, different processes, different methods for how you approach each user group. Now, in Oman, all of those user groups that I mentioned are there. We have them. It's just like any other market in the world. We have the innovators. We have the early adopters. We have the laggards. We have people that are just don't want to use technology. And the way we approach them, as I said, is different throughout the process. So what we do is that we remain systematic on how we identify the user groups. And we make sure that for each user group, we create the best user experience for their needs, for their backgrounds. We empathize with them. We understand how do they operate with digital products, and we serve them in the best way possible. And that's the idea and how we approach users in Oman.
So tell me about your company achievements.
My company achievements. Wow. Okay. We have a few achievements. If we're talking about FreeZero specifically, I think I'm very confident to say that FreeZero has the best data science team in Oman. And it's a data science team that's competing in Oman, in the region, and internationally. We have clients that are in the States today. We have clients in Canada. We have clients in the UK. Those clients are looking for the best companies to serve their needs. And there is a reason why they come to FreeZero, is that because FreeZero do serve their needs in the best way possible, bringing our technical expertise into their business problems and solve them in the best way possible is something that's a huge achievement for a local Omani startup here in Oman. I mentioned technical expertise as well as the business expertise and the consultancy expertise exist in FreeZero with world class standards, I'd say. And that's why I think those businesses tend to work with us, feel comfortable to work with us, because we've shown again and again that we are up to the world-class standards in terms of solving complex problems in different industries, whether we're talking about oil and gas industry, whether we're talking about the geo industry, financial industry, and the different industries. This is one of the things that I'm very proud of being at FreeZero, being part of FreeZero, is solving those kinds of problems for international clients, because it's a great leading indicator for us that we are doing the right things in the right way. We are solving the right complex problems in the right way. We are serving businesses and clients in the best way possible. That's one thing. Another thing is the local talent in Oman. As I said earlier, one of our missions and a vision that we strive to achieve is improving the local tech talent in Oman. And I think I've worked with many companies in my career. I think the way PhaseRoad does it is a very systematic way, as well as is a very practical way. It's a hands-on learning experience for the local tech talent, where we place them in having to make really in having to solve real complex problems that once they do that, they will have an experience that they can utilize across the world, not just in PhaseRoad, because we believe that once this local talent is developed for him or her to be competitive internationally, then this is one way or another is going to bring value to Oman, eventually value to PhaseRoad. That's something that we believe in. That's a huge achievement. I would like to say that PhaseRoad have done in terms of developing the local talent. And I think if you talk to anyone that has spent any amount of time at PhaseRoad, they will share the same experience that I'm trying to describe right now with you. I think we're doing a great job when it comes to that, as well as, of course, we have many initiatives when it comes to like scholarships. We have many initiatives when it comes to local workshops that we do, where we share our knowledge, we share what we know from the different industries, working with different clients, what we learn from them. We bring this into the table and discuss it with the publics. If you come into the PhaseRoad website, you will see that we always on a weekly basis or bi-weekly basis, we have these technical workshops where we discuss what we know, because we believe that sharing that kind of knowledge, sharing that kind of experience will always bring value to the country and PhaseRoad eventually.
So the company owners or the business leaders doesn't have who are from non-technical the companies which belongs to non-technical background. So how, as a technology guy, how you are able to convince them or tell them in such a way that they can use this technology tool or service that will make them increase their sales or increase the value of their business? And how much time that you give guarantee to them that this change will happen and you will get the result?
That's another good question. Well, it's a combination of things, right? It's a combination of things. Main two things I would say are basically, well, those company leaders, whether they're technology company or oil and gas company or any industry, they do kind of have that understanding of how can technology help their businesses. They have that mindset already, because as I said, in Oman, we're going through that mindset shift. So initially, they do have that understanding that if we want to improve this aspect of our business, we need to incorporate technology into it. The challenge becomes is that how do we do that? We don't know how to do that. We are a financial company, financial institution. We are an oil and gas company. We're not technology experts. So how do we bring technology into our operations to help us improve? That makes it easy for us once we get there and trying. I'm not going to use the word convince our clients, but I would say consult our clients on incorporating technology into their operations. It makes it easier because they already have that kind of understanding that, yes, we do need technology. Now the question becomes, how do we do that? Now, once that first step is done, which is we're all aligned that, okay, we need to bring a technology solution into this complex problem that you have, then we take it to the next step. How do we do that? Once we start talking about how do we do that, meaning we need to discuss strategy, we need to discuss plans, we need to discuss a step-by-step guide, we need to discuss timelines, because one of the key aspects of what we do is that we focus on creating value very fast for our clients and businesses, right? Because one of the challenges we noticed that when a company that's not technology is not their core business, once they go through a digital transformation initiative, what ends up happening is that they work for years, 1, 2, or 3 years on a digital transformation initiative, only to realize at the end of it that they weren't doing the right thing, and either that initiative will either they will pivot or they will stop working on it at all, and they will not get any value out of it. So to solve for that, what we promise our clients is that we're not going to put you in that situation again. We're going to create a circle, a line of loops, iteration loops, where you will be able to see how valuable is your idea, is your concept to your business. Throughout that process, if you at any point we identify that, okay, our concept is not valuable to the business, then we make a decision. Do we pivot? Do we stop? But now think about this, compare between the two situations. The second situation, what we're consulting is that you will understand that you're not going in the right direction before it's too late, before you end up spending 3 years and $1 million into that initiative, right? We're going to tell you that you're not headed towards the right direction early in the process. We're going to create checkpoints for you to understand whether what you're doing is right or wrong. This gives the decision makers more confidence into whether do we want to go with this initiative, whether do you want to incorporate technology into this, because technology, actually any business initiative, is about experimenting, right? You want to experiment whether what you're doing is right. You want to experiment whether what you're doing is going to help your customers, your business, your users. Is it going to return revenue as you expect? Is it going to help you achieve some KPIs that you're aiming to achieve for? It's about experimenting. So us enabling that experimentation in an easy, systematic, understandable way for the executives, for the top management of those businesses, makes it really easy for them to make that decision that, okay, we want to, well, first of all, work with you guys. Second of all, we want to test out our concepts and tell us what we're doing right or wrong before it's too late. I think having those kinds of discussions is quite valuable. To summarize the answer, it's a combination of two things. One thing is leadership of those companies that we work with have an understanding of the need of technology to be incorporated into their business. Another aspect of it is that us as a consultancy and how we bring in our systems and processes into testing the digital transformation ideas in a systematic way, I think they're both helpful to the businesses.
So what kind of technology, digital products or services that you use with your from your company for different businesses? And also tell me about your team, how they work to get the expected result.
Okay. That's another good question. I'm not going to talk a lot about the technical stuff because that's not my area. But what I'm going to talk about is how do we decide what's going to help your business? There are different things. There's the technical stuff, technology. What kind of technology are we going to use? Are we going to use Python programming language? Are we going to use JavaScript? Depending on your problem, we have the expertise that's going to help you, that's going to consult you on making the right decision of what we want to use here, right? We have leads in each department. We have the design lead that's going to help you on how do you want to solve the problem in the best way possible. We have the technical lead that's going to consult you on in technical aspects, what's realistic and what's not realistic within what you're proposing and what we're discussing. And we have the consultancy leads as well that are going to connect the dots between all of these things to tell you how you can best solve this problem. So when we approach our clients, our companies, we approach them from these three angles, which is the technical angle, the design angle. And when I say design, I don't mean specifically UI, UX. No, I mean design of the solution, because you have a problem and you want to solve for that problem. So someone has to design that solution, and the design could be pen and paper. The design could be a booklet. It doesn't necessarily mean a system that we're going to build for you. So that design lead is going to bring that perspective into the table. The technical lead is going to bring the perspective into what can be done and what cannot be done into this design solution that we're discussing. And the consultancy leads are going to discuss, okay, now we have these two perspectives, the design and the technical. Now, how can these aspects help your business, you as a business owner or a business lead, in the best way possible? So bringing those three aspects into the discussion, the discovery discussions, is always has been helpful for us to align with the business requirements and understand what kind of solution needs to be built specifically. Once that part is done, then we have the development stuff that starts. Of course, we have front-end engineers, we have back-end engineers, we have solution architects, we have data scientists, we have machine learning engineers, computer vision engineers, we have designers, UI designers, UX designers, we have interaction designers that are shaping all of these things together and making sure that we're building the best solution possible for our businesses. And again, we have myself as a product manager connecting the dots between all of those different functions, across functionals that are working together to build the best solutions for our clients.
You have engineering background. You became a product manager. So how that engineering is helping you today?
It's helping me a lot. Honestly, it's helping me a lot. And I think I've only recently started to notice how that engineering background is helping me. As an engineer, one of the key things that you have to do is that you always need to mitigate risk. Mitigate risk in whatever you do, whether you're specifically, because I was working in the electrical engineering field. So when we talk about risk, we talk about human lives, someone getting electrocuted and dying, right? So I think having that kind of mentality is helping me today in creating the different methods, different frameworks for how businesses or us as a business should operate in the way that we reduce the risk as much as possible to achieve the best results eventually. And I think in terms of the technical skills, as I said earlier, problem solving skills as an engineer has been something that's really helpful for me, as well as being an electrical engineer gave me exposure to different industries, working with different industries, whether it's in oil and gas or specifically gas. Because before working with OQ, I was working with a company called BP, British Petroleum, that's focused mainly on gas and not oil. It gave me that kind of exposure, working in different industries. And I think that exposure is always helpful just for your work ethics in general, at the same time for your, well, general knowledge. As much general knowledge you have is something that's going to be beneficial in your daily work one way or another. And for me, I'm someone that's obsessed with learning. I like learning. So even after college, even today, I did not stop learning. I still take courses. I still basically aim to study different industries and things like that. And this is something I always advocate for, is that keep learning. Once you stop learning, meaning you stopped a huge part of your life. So that's something that you need to be very careful about, whether it's something you're passionate about, whether it's something you think is going to bring value to your business. One way or another, you just need to keep learning and making sure that you progress in your career and your life in general.
So this conversation will be watched and heard by the top technology company leaders, especially from Amazon Web Services Vice President, Salesforce Vice President. A lot of leaders will be watching and listening to this, whatever you said about your country and the usage of technology in your country and mm-hmm. how it is getting adopted to the technology and mm-hmm. solving the problems. And you are the person who is doing and your company is making things happen. So what do you say to this global audience or leaders about your country and your the technology human integration?
That's a good question. And I feel like you put a huge responsibility on my shoulder right now to represent my country this way. Let's see if I'm up to it. Well, one thing I would say, people need to keep a close eye on Oman. And I'm not saying this just because I'm Omani. I think I think with the shift that's happening in Oman today, things are going to change fast and suddenly. People are going to start noticing that, oh, this is the market that we missed. We should have paid more attention to it. I think now, specifically now is the time to do that. International products, international clients, international talent should keep a very close eye in Oman because things are happening. Things are happening really fast and things are moving. People are taking initiatives. The government is taking initiatives. A lot of fund is being put into technology industry in Oman. So if you want to be part of that journey, now is the time. Come and take a sneak peek into what's happening today. I'm around to help you. You can find me on LinkedIn. But yeah, definitely Oman is going towards a very drastic shift today. And I think if someone misses on that, you're going to regret not being part of this after a few years. This has happened with other countries in the region where people did not look close enough into what's happening internally. Because usually when a company is quiet, when a country is quiet for a while, know that they're cooking something. And we are in Oman, we're cooking something. And I think it's going to start becoming clearer and more obvious to the world in the upcoming few years. And we are very excited and we are very welcoming to having international companies and international talent coming into Oman. And for now, just see, look at what we're doing, bring in your perspective, learn what you can from us and explore opportunities. That's always how it works.
So do your country has data centers of Microsoft or Amazon? I don't know. Do you have in your geographical region?
We do. In our geographical region, we do. Maybe not, if not specifically in Oman, but we do have in the region. We have UAE, we have Bahrain. We do have data centers for Amazon and Google. And I think, we do have them.
That's great. At last, what do you say about my global communication and my interview skills and my questioning in this conversation and your experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first of all, I want to say that I'm very inspired with what you're doing here, is that connecting people from across the globe to share their experience, their country's experience, their work experience, and what they know with you. You create a platform for this, which I think really valuable, especially during these times where everyone is looking for ways to improve, everyone is looking for ways to learn from the other. So you creating this platform is really inspiring. I like what you do. The conversation we had today is quite insightful. You opened my eyes, things that I didn't even pay attention to. So I really appreciate that. I think, keeping at this will definitely, it's definitely helping us already as viewers, as speakers in this podcast, in your show. But it's also going to help people wanting to learn about other countries, wanting to learn about other businesses, which is, I have to admit that the resources to do that today is not as mature as we'd like them to be. But having platforms like this where you can just, I don't know, you had a conversation with someone from the States that's working in the oil and gas industry. I want to learn about what's happening in the States in the oil and gas industry. I'm just going to hop in your platform, watch that video, maybe connect with you or connect with the speaker of that chat. And that's how I learn about what's happening. And I think keeping at this will definitely bring in value. And I like how you're very diverse when it comes to how you connect with people from across the world. I know that I'm in Oman, on the other side of the world from the last speaker that was in the States. So having that kind of connection is always valuable and bringing different perspective and diversity into your platform. So appreciate that.
This is the first time I have done a Oman expert.
Oh, wow. Nice. I'm hoping it's not the last.
This is the first. It will start from now, for sure. Awesome. Because, the way it is increasing, because a lot of people, not Western country people, know very well about Oman and, how things are working. I'm sure with this conversation, definitely it will it will make them think, and what is what exactly happening, because the way you explained is very, very, very good. So I'm glad that I am presenting you.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Sai. Appreciate it.
And I have done master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now, I'm doing some DevOps engineering projects for a UK company. And the sponsor is from US, from California. So my background is completely technology. I'm doing engineering thing like you have done. But I have done a lot of engineering in my life. So that is my full-time role. Apart from that, I'm doing this work, connecting to the experts who are from different parts of the world and who are into different professions and who are into different backgrounds, who came from different backgrounds. Also, I interviewed people who are police officers, doctors, psychologists, CEOs, CFOs, PROs, like all kind of people who comes into technology, who are non-technical people, also lecturers, professors. Trying to understand what they are doing and how they are solving. Eventually, everybody is a human being, but different country people are solving problems in a different way. So the way they are looking at things is different. The product is saying that the way they are looking at that is different. So how that difference is there, just I'm curious to know how they are solving. So how with your experience, because you talk with a lot of business leaders and you create things which are not existed before, and you help technology to connect with the businesses, talking with people always. Your job is to talk with people. So what is your observation? How this experience talking, my talking experience with global leaders and global experts, how this is going to add value to my career in coming days?
Exactly the last point that you mentioned. It's, first of all, it's definitely going to add value in your career. That's for sure. In different ways. One way is business, whether we're talking about career, whether we're talking about founding a business or funding a business, we talk about networks. You talk about how big is your network. Who do you know? Because now, today, you know a lot of people in different industries with different responsibilities. One day you're going to face a problem in one of those areas, in one of those industries. You know a person in that industry. It only makes sense for you to talk to that person because they know you, you know them. Probably you're going to sort something out for each other. Network for any career, for any business is key. If you don't have, and this is something I talk openly about, if you don't have a strong network, don't bother starting a business, right? Unless you're going to work really hard to create that network, be in circles of people within that industry, then you can start a business. Because if you don't have a strong network, if you're not known in the industry, then it gets really difficult for you to sell your business, to sell the concepts of your business, to get revenue, to get customers for your business. It gets really challenging and complicated. And this is something, even as a product manager, I always talk to founders that you need to be more publicized. People need to see you more. You need to speak more. You need to make LinkedIn posts, Instagram posts. People need to know, what do you bring to the table? You need people to want you in their network, because being part of a network is not something that's just easy to do. No, people need to make sure that if you're in their network, that you're valuable to that network. So that value needs to be seen publicly, needs to be known. If you're a founder of a product, if someone look at your picture in LinkedIn, they need to know that, okay, this person solve these kinds of problems, so I want them in my network because I'm facing these kinds of problems. So that's one way how this discussion that you have with people from across the globe is going to help you in your career. Another way, it's going to help the world. As I said earlier, it's going to help the world in learning about other countries and what they do, learn about other fields and how people interact with those fields, how people operate in that field. Maybe some other time you're going to talk with a product manager from a different country, they bring in a unique perspective to their country, just the way I brought a unique perspective of Oman's product management. And maybe there are some lessons learned to learn from both countries, and you create a platform to share that kind of knowledge is quite valuable to the world.
So can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
And also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Wherever you want, you have my full permission. Happy to support.
Awesome. So I'll share you the SATADM, which is the communication system that is from USA. So I'm sure as a product manager, you'll find it is very valuable. So that's why the reason I decided to say about it, because that is helping a lot of people. So you can see that, and maybe you can suggest to one of your businesses that is very effective tool that I use.
Awesome. Will do, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, if you can give me feedback about it, your observation as a product, digital product manager, so that will be a great observation.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you again for your valuable time. After 2 years, I connected to you.
Thank you for having me, Sai. Appreciate it.
Take care. Yeah.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you see me?